It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
Not on.
There you are.
I'm Joe Linebarrier.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And we're certainly glad to be back here all together again.
Yeah,
because I'm sure you are glad to be back with us.
I'm glad you guys are here.
You did it all by yourself. Well, you had a guest in the studio last week.
One on the right, one on the left.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill. He likes to do this by himself, right?
He does a good job.
Excellent
by himself,
job
too.
It's not that I like
plans.
Him,
he doesn't do it by himself.
Well, okay, we got Mark.
I'm by myself.
But I mean, as far as behind the microphone, you know, you did it. You're by yourself.
I'm by myself.
We were at the event of the season, Randy's wedding. Pinehurst, wonderful, very very nice.
Time, huh?
Enjoyed that immensely. Thank you, Randy. Very nice.
Well, I appreciate
you
coming.
Married, huh?
Came back married. Look at that. See that ring? Look at that.
Still married.
Yes.
That's
married.
The accomplishment. nicely done though, Randy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming. Enough about that. We've got a good show for you tonight. We've got some stuff to talk about. Obviously, that happened at Volusia Speedway Park last weekend. We've got a big event coming up at New Smyrna Speedway this Thursday night at New Smyrna called the Kleinhardt Memorial. This is the 10th annual, and I can tell you, I'll tell you a little story about that later, about being there at the beginning.
It don't seem like 10 years.
It doesn't, but I can tell you it's the truth. It is 10 years.
I used to run two races in one night.
And I'll tell you how that happened.
Yeah.
We have an interview tonight with Bobby Labonte. From Petty Enterprises, and we'll have Terry Roberts from New Smyrna Speedway call us a little bit later. I think, Joe, you've got...
young man, actually the son of the owner of Auburndale Speedway. I found this out this afternoon. Young man is only 19 years old. Jonathan Guy will join us tonight, drives a 1933 Willys panel truck in the Florida Dwarf Car Association, picked up a win Saturday night, so we'll spend a few minutes with him and perhaps get the latest on the world of outlaw late models with Rick Eshelman.
And, of course, we've got a lot to talk about as it relates to what's happened in the Cup Series over the weekend and some of the things that are yet to come, relative to the silly season, and somewhere in there we'll be taking your phone calls. So pretty much an action-packed program. We're really glad to be back here together tonight, and getting ready to start here next month. We'll be starting our 12th year as a program. It's hard to imagine, really hard to imagine. But, and of course, not to mention we've got what's going on at the big track this weekend.
Speaking of our 12th year of motorsports broadcasting here in Volusia County, it's such a pleasure to be on Racing 1150, but want everybody to realize our good friends at RealRacingUSA.com, they're available for you at their website for our program and many more motorsports talk shows that are available via RealRacingUSA.com. But all you have to do, folks, if you do not catch this entire show, you get home and you say, boy, I just cannot believe I didn't hear Randy, Joe, and Billy. I want to hear the program. TracksideTonight.com. How's that sound?
Or past programs.
That's right. Yeah, all archived, and we want to thank Jack Smith. He's just so instrumental in the success of this program. But TracksideTonight.com. It's that simple, folks. That's all you got to do.
And we, and we get phone calls now. People do this all over the place. They listen to us all over the United States, and we're
in a big
calls.
Time now.
Yeah, we are in a big time. I guess we are in a big time, aren't we?
You guys are somebody.
Well, what do you mean we are somebody?
You guys.
We can't be somebody if you're not somebody.
I'm just the middle guy here.
What'd you do last week, Bill? Had Dylan Wood in the studio.
Dylan Wood was here, and we talked about some things that was happening and things we had going on, evolution, stuff like that. It was a good show. Young Dylan was in. He wanted to come back tonight.
Where is he?
He's set right now. I don't know.
All right.
But, Joe, tell us what happened at Volusia
Speedway. Well,
Park.
My. Well, you know.
First thing is, I'm surprised you raced.
We are, I do believe, the only track that raced.
Yeah. I mean, the weather was just miserable.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it sprinkled just very, very lightly in the afternoon, and the track was prepared, to an excellent excellent surface, so we were able to get it in. But this was the street stock portion of the Summer Sizzler. Now, we've broken up all three of these divisions who were originally scheduled to race 2 weeks ago on Sunday. We broke them up, and this was the street stock's turn. It was 40 laps for $2,500. And as always, Grady Christian had this field on their knees. You know, I mean, he has just dominated this division in 2008, drives the number 36 affordable Well & Pump sponsored Chevrolet. Grady Christian had him covered. I mean, from restarts, cautions, long green flag runs. But Alan Peacock was right there with him. This is the number 15, the son, of course, of J.T. Peacock. I mean, he's a fixture of Evolution. That's right.
Ever, yeah.
The Bright House Network sponsored number 15 was not letting Grady Christian get out from under his thumb. I mean, he was right there with him all night. Final restart. It was a green-white checkered. They're coming down in turn one. This is the final lap. These things happen so fast. It's certainly from an announcer's point of view. It's, believe it or not easy to see everything going on because you're trying to cover it all.
Sure.
I did see Grady Christian start to spin, lost the grip on the 36. He was above Alan Peacock, if I'm not mistaken, Billy. Alan was down on the bottom. All of a sudden, Grady spins. Alan goes on to pick up the win. Controversy ensued at this point.
No kidding.
At this point, people are just going crazy, whether they're for Alan Peacock or for Grady Christian. It was not pretty. So we had about a 10-minute delay before they finally decided Alan Peacock was the official winner. And there's a whole lot more in between all that. But that is just what happened in a nutshell. Billy, I would love for him to expound upon this, but it doesn't appear that he wants to.
Like he's sitting back and going to avoid that topic.
Well, Billy, help me out because, I mean, I glance over in turn one, I see that yellow car spinning.
At about 4 o'clock, I watched the rain coming down the road. I put my Fuller in the building and I watched it go down, across the go-kart track, down the back straightaway, and I watched it go down the road, down 40. And
split us.
Yeah. That's how we got the race, but other than that, I don't remember anything.
Well,
never take the job home with you.
Sometimes it's better that way. Well, I didn't get to see the controversy, and I wish I had. I had planned on coming out there, but the weather looked so bad that I just decided that there was not a chance in the world that you were racing, so we didn't come out there. But
rained everywhere but there.
Yeah. What would you do here? I mean, Alan admitted, look, I did make contact with Grady. What do you do at this point? It's the final lap. The leader spins. Alan goes on to get the win. Do you give it to third? I mean, what do you do? This has got to be one of the toughest calls that a race director, a manager, any track official has to make.
There's a variety of things you can do, and I don't know that any of them is the right thing. But I've raced under a variety of different rules,
mm-hmm.
and one of those is that the leader, so long as now this is a I guess a long explanation. The leader is given protection so long as he drives the same line around the racetrack. Okay, now the moment that the leader starts blocking, if in the opinion of the race director, who usually is watching from the tower,
sure,
and has the best view, or getting information from his associates around the racetrack, the moment the leader starts attempting to block, okay, then his protection, his net of protection, if you will, is now no more, okay, because he's taking away the line or an opportunity for that car that's chasing him to go around him.
That's right.
So all bets are off. If that leader is spun out, just running his line, giving the guy who's chasing him an opportunity to get around him, then typically, one circumstance, the leader's protected. He's put back in the position of leading. The guy that's in second is put to the tail because he brings out the caution, even though it's at the end, and everybody moves up. Okay, that's one scenario.
A good scenario because the leaders had spun. They're in turn one, in the apex of turn one and two. I would say if this happened in turn four, you just keep going. I think maybe a caution should have been called because of where they were on the racetrack and the track position. This was the leaders.
Well, if it happened early enough, I'm going to get in trouble. But if it happens early enough,
meaning in the race or on the track?
On the track. Okay, if it happened early enough on the track where you could conceivably throw a yellow, you're still going to have to make a decision.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
Are both cars going to the tail? Is it the guy in second going to the tail? What caused the caution? Okay, and ultimately, if the guy who's leading moved up and took the line away from the guy who was second, then both guys go to the tail. So you've got some issues there. But, you know, the one thing that has to happen, that has to be clearly defined in a driver's meeting or early in the year. This is what we're going to do in these circumstances. You cannot make that call on the fly.
Yeah, okay? That's tough
you,
to
you
do.
You have to have a protocol for the way you're going to handle it. I've raced in at times when I was the leader was protected. I've raced in times when the leader was absolutely, you know, he was whatever happens, happens.
Sure.
It's
difficult. I mean, in any scenario, it really is. And I again, I'm not an official. Says it nowhere on my shirt, and I prefer it that way. People come up to me and ask questions and make comments, and I just clearly say, "Look, can't help you."
I had it happen to me, I've had it happen at different times. I've also been the perpetrator. Okay,
but of course,
the one time I think that got to me more than any time in my career. It was shortly after it was Speed Weeks. We sat on the pole, actually on the outside pole. We set the pole speed. We drew a one, and I had to invert with Jason Boyd.
Okay,
so he gets to sit on the pole, and I'm on the outside pole. And it took us three times to get the race started. I jumped the first time, he jumped the second time, and we went off the third time. Okay, me, you know, it's Jason Boyd. I'm going to try to get a run on him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I led every lap. In the middle of turn one and two.
Here comes Jason Boyd.
No.
Okay.
I don't remember what happened to him, but he was no longer a factor, but A.J. Corelli was. Okay? And A.J. Corelli hit me and turned me around on the last lap of the first night of the World Series of Asphalt.
What turn?
Between one and two.
Okay.
And, you know, now let me defend A.J. for a minute. Okay, the longer the race went, the tighter my car got. Okay.
So hard for you to keep it pinned down.
I was having a hard time keeping it on the bottom, but it was working so long as I was up off the corner a little bit and kind of making a little diamond, you know, and if I had kept doing that, I would have won the race. But we're coming to the last lap and my spotter says protect the bottom. Well, in order for me to protect the bottom, I had to slow down. I couldn't go in the corner like I had. And, you know, AJ got into the back of me and I spun and I was infuriated.
I'll bet.
And he was smart enough to go to the pit.
No caution?
Oh, no, we had a caution.
Okay.
But he went in.
So he goes to the tail?
No, he went in.
Oh, he's done.
It was a good thing. It was a good idea. Okay, because I was definitely hunting. But the point is that in that particular case, you know, in races gone by, they had protected the leader. In that situation,
yeah. Sure.
I felt like I deserved a protection. I did not block him. I held my line going down the corner. And
but you slowed.
I slowed down. I had to. Okay. But he could have gone around the outside.
So
the outside was open.
You were hunting like Juan Montoya yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, man, let's do it. I mean, good Lord. And then the most unfortunate thing is, luckily, and I think Wally or somebody said it, that they didn't take somebody out that's perhaps has a shot at a good finish here tonight.
Well, here's the deal. You know, first off, what happened to Juan Montoya yesterday is kind of like, you know, watching an NBA basketball game. I give you an elbow. The official doesn't see it.
Yeah.
You turn around and
draw the foul.
Bam.
Yeah,
hit
me. He saw you.
Okay, you're the guy that gets caught.
That's right.
Okay. In this particular case, you know, Kyle Busch was doing everything he's been doing all year long. You know, he's playing, I'm the big dog, you can't mess with me, I'm the points leader, all that stuff. And he's giving Juan Montoya.
But it was subtle.
But it was still being done.
It was being done, okay. There's no doubt, but it was subtle.
Here's the biggest...
Crossing two lines.
Could have been construed as racing.
Here's the biggest problem I have with what took... Two problems. One, Kyle Busch feigns ignorance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like he didn't know what was going on.
I agree with that.
Okay, and that's just flat out, you know, being a coward.
Sure.
Okay. Secondly, Juan Montoya doing what he did could have affected the other competitors.
Right.
Okay. Really, truly, if that's me, when we park him, I'm talking to Kyle Busch one on one. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean probably a little more than that. But those two competitors, those two guys, I mean, Montoya's personality is incredibly hot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and he's going to take it from nobody.
That's right.
And Kyle Busch, you see what his gig's all
about. Any fines being talked about for
one fines?
Because he blatantly admitted it.
Montoya got fined two laps.
Two laps. It cost him about seven spots on the race.
And the 32nd.
Right. He went from 25th or 4th to 32nd. Well, before we keep going with this, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got an interview with Bobby Labonte.
All right.
Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
In today's economic climate, it's every citizen's duty to save money and conserve resources. That's why smart Americans frequently use Superwash Express in Port Orange. Superwash keeps your vehicle clean and sparkling at prices that can't be beat. Superwash makes the extra effort to keep your car, truck, or van sparkling like brand new inside and out. Try the $5 Express Wash with spot-free rinse and power dry. Superwash offers free self-service vacuuming. That's right, free self-vacuuming. Superwash is proud of their professional detailing and full-service car washing that will have you smiling. And at Superwash, they offer the best price in town with their $45 hand wax with no upcharges for SUVs. No one even comes close. And why not consider getting the gift of a Superwash gift card? They're fast, they're friendly, and they're thorough. Superwash Express in Port Orange, open 7 days, rain or shine, at 1786 Dunlawton, directly across from Super Target, holding the line on inflation with the best prices in town. Superwash Express.
Business as usual? I think not. In today's market, it's no longer business as usual because that's just not good enough. The Daytona Penny Saver is changing, and we understand your business is changing too. That's why for over the past 26 years, people have turned to their Penny Saver when they need to advertise. And now is the time to take advantage of this great opportunity. The Penny Saver knows it's our job to help you target your market as cost-effective as possible. And a great way to meet your goals is to advertise in the Daytona Penny Saver service directory. Everything is at your fingertips and in alphabetical order. Remember, the Penny Saver has a combined circulation of over 323,000 and reaches across four counties and can also be read online by everyone. So what are you waiting for? Let our advertising professionals assist you with layouts, photos, and logos for your business at no additional charge. The Daytona Penny Saver, growing locally in our community. Look for us online at www.floridapennysavers.com and start advertising today.
Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach wants you to be prepared. If you need a battery, we have it. Automotive, marine, commercial, motorcycle, golf cart, cellular, generator, UPS backup, garage remotes, AA, AAA, quadruple A, CD, gel batteries, and the list goes on. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach, 806 Mason Avenue, has hard-to-find batteries. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach has free battery testing. Call 386-252-5909 or stop by 806 Mason Avenue. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach wants you to be prepared.
Race fans love the Oyster Pub, Daytona's favorite sports pub and a race week party tradition. Giving you all the racing action on 34 TV screens. Check out their great porterhouse and strip steak dinners and the best oysters in town at Daytona's largest oyster bar. The Oyster Pub welcomes race fans with great food and drink and all the racing action on 34 TV screens. The Oyster Pub on Seabreeze, a Daytona race week party tradition that keeps getting better.
And now enjoy outside
call tonight at the Oyster Pub.
239-0033 star 1150 or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside Tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And we have really the good fortune, I think, to get Bobby Labonte on the phone. And we're going to go with that right now. Well, welcome to the show. On the phone tonight with us is Bobby Labonte. Bobby, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, glad to be here.
We really appreciate you taking time. I know that the schedule of a NASCAR Sprint Cup driver is unbearable sometimes, and with all the travel you've got, and this is a short week for everybody, so I appreciate you taking some time to spend with us.
Yeah, no problem. It's you're exactly right. It is a short week, but we love doing it, so that's why we keep doing it.
Yeah. Now tell us. Obviously there was a lot of speculation earlier in the year about what was going to happen with Bobby Labonte, where Bobby Labonte was going to go, and certainly somebody with your success and all the things that you've accomplished in NASCAR to date, you could have. I know you had many options. What? Without going into all those, what decided to keep you with Petty Enterprises?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. It was it was a long first part of the season because everybody had me driving something else at one point in time or another, it seemed like. And all that sounds good, but, you know, really I was trying to, you know, waiting and focusing on the opportunities at Petty Enterprises because, you know, I put two and a fourth or two and two-thirds or a third year in there already and, you know, trying to get things going. And, you know, I mean, obviously the success that Petty Enterprises has had in the past hasn't been there in several years, but I kind of like that. I kind of like the challenge. I mean, it's a little bit uphill, but everybody there at Petty Enterprises, obviously Richard and Kyle and Robbie Loomis and everybody there, I mean, they work real hard. They, you know, they have a lot of desire and passion. And, you know, just that the sport's changed so much in a lot of years, you know, the past few years, that it's been tough for them to keep up with that with the way that the sport's been growing. But you know, the things that really mattered the most is the company called Boston Ventures that came in and bought into the Petty Enterprises. And they're going to come in there and, you know, it's going to be more of a business situation over what it has been in the past. And, you know, got some great opportunities to get some you know, fresh sponsors in there, and then, you know, also the fact that, you know, they want to grow the team to three and four cars at one point in time, and, you know, they have some capital investors in it. So, I mean, it seemed like it's a great opportunity for me. Like I said, I love being there because of the people, but at the same time, we needed to grow, and how are we going to do that? And this is going to give us that opportunity. So I probably told you more than I should have, or maybe more than you asked, but that's kind of the reason why, because, I mean, it's a great opportunity, and you know, I do want to be a part of a team that, A, wants you, and you want them, and we can grow together. And, you know, the person after me one of these days that drives the 43 car, I hope that he will appreciate the work that we've done to get him in it, you know, whoever that might be.
Well, I think interesting, you know, if I summarize what you said, resources and you know, I guess that's a fancy way of saying money. Today, when Boston Venture comes to the table, and it's not particularly unique to the sport anymore because, you know, the Roush Fenways and there's some others out there, the Gillette Everham, you know, those kinds of things. It's not the first one of its kind, but certainly an icon company like Petty Enterprises. It's a big deal for Richard and ultimately for Kyle to relinquish equity and control of the company. But at the same time, it's interesting that they see that's the future. If the Petty Enterprises name wants to be around, they had to do something like this. Is that not the case?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, it's a hard road. I mean, like I said before, the past 15 years, I mean, the sport's changed quite a bit. You know, and it's just it's run like a business. I mean, I was with Gibbs for 10 years, and I know how they operate. You know, Hendricks has got a great organization, but there's a lot of resources, and the way they do things is you know, a lot of it's still a race team, and it's, you know, about people, and people make it happen, but you got those people that are thinking, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road to make it all happen. And that's, you know, this is an opportunity for us, and it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it's that chance, you know, that all the employees there are going to have, and, you know, how can we grow it to make it better and be more competitive is the bottom line. I mean, we want to win races, and we might not do it right away, but at least I know where I'm going to be at, and they know where they're going to be at, and now we just have to build on it, which before it was kind of like, well, who's going to be where? But so this is a, you know, it's a tough road to hoe, which all of them are, but and this one here is no different, but it's a great opportunity to grow with something that wants to grow with you.
Well, you know, I really like hearing that sense of pride that you have in building, restoring. Maybe I'd call it that way, the restoration of the Petty success, because certainly I've been around a long time and go back to the dark ages, I guess, with the Richard Petty, and you could count on how successful they were going to be, and then it's been a real bleak period. And for you to take that, and I know that obviously it has to benefit Bobby Labonte too, but it sounds to me like this is more than just a money deal, that this is something about you have a genuine interest in succeeding, and I even saw something that said that, you know, that you wanted to finish your career out with Petty Enterprises, I hope that can happen, you know, on your terms, in a very, very high-profile, successful way.
Yeah, and if we can, you know, I think the biggest thing is what I'll benefit from it is the next person that drives it or after that. And, you know, where this team was at point whatever in the year 2008 and 2000 and whatever, it's here. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, not many people would probably sit there and say, well, I'll do that. I mean, but that's okay because, you know, it's something that, you know, I drive off stuff like that. I think it's exciting to be able to be a part of it. So it's cool. It's all going to be a lot of work, but it'll be worth it one of these days.
Well, you mentioned the competition part, and certainly that's what it's all about. And if anybody's paid attention over the last couple of years, from a competitive standpoint, the 43 car is definitely more competitive than it's been, 5 years ago. You know, to sit on the outside pole at Loudoun, you know, you finished 10th in the race, and I know there's all kinds of opinions, well, if it hadn't rained and all that sort of thing. But you know what? It did rain, and somebody did have to pay attention to the weather, and they did have to make a decision. And you know, but competitively on the big picture, things are getting better, are they not?
Well, they are, you know, and I mean, we've had, you know, that was our first top 10 of the year, but we've had like three or four 11th place finishes and just, I mean, within a whisker of being 10th, you know, and I mean, but at the same time with the development of the new car, I mean, obviously a four-car team is going to have more advantage over a two-car team as far as they're, you know, getting this car up and running. There's a lot of change in it right now. The old car, you know, it was probably, we were actually more competitive with the old car, but in today that we're racing the new car, I mean, it's people are trying stuff, doing things every week, and we can only do so much because we only have two teams. So, I mean, we're pretty competitive with it for what we have, you know, and I think that gap will close up a little bit once we get things figured out in this car, but it's just going to take a little time. But, yeah, I mean, we've been more successful. You know, we're 20th in points right now, and, you know, we've had two or three bad luck runs. I got in a wreck at Dover and got spun out at Michigan and electrical problem at Sonoma gave us our first DNF of the year where we could have been sitting 17th, you know. And with who we're racing against and all the teams that are up there, that's probably not all that bad. It's just, man, it's just so tight and so close. A tenth of a second means so much. You know, we're just trying our heart out to find that tenth of a second each week.
Well, you know, the qualifying thing is a big telltale thing to me. I don't care where you go, and with the competition that you guys are in, to qualify second anywhere, wherever it is a big deal, and that's something you guys have. I mean, on the best day, even though Bobby Labonte's as good as he is, I don't think Bobby Labonte's had equipment capable of sitting second or first anywhere for a long time, and to say, and for you to have something that's capable of doing that is a pretty big improvement, is it not?
It really is, and I mean, we've been inching towards it, and we've had a couple qualifying runs here that were pretty decent, and I tell you what really kind of, to me, what makes you know that you're doing some things good is that Dale Earnhardt Jr., before the race, said, hey, you guys got things going, turn around a little bit. You're racing better, qualifying better, you know, and I mean, now, that guy comes from a guy that's won a lot of races. He's also with a team that's very well-funded, a lot of resources. But, you know, he's noticed, you know, I mean, and we all notice different teams also. But, I mean, you know, he noticed, hey, you guys are kind of turning the corner a little bit. And it's like, yeah, we have, you know what I mean? And a lot of it comes from, all right, saying everybody's going to stay put and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then hopefully that'll build from there. But you're right, yeah, qualifying sets the tone for the weekend, and we've been pretty good the past two. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's always hard. I look at it as Jeff Gordon runs terrible at Texas, and Jimmy Johnson was two laps down at Atlanta at one time and in Vegas for sure. And, yeah. You know, so even the guys with all the resources and everything, I mean, everybody has their, oops, we missed it today, you know?
Right.
So it's, so whenever you're a smaller team, I mean, you know, to make those differences is really, really gratifying.
Well, here's a warm and fuzzy. What's it like being back at the racetrack and running with your brother again? That's got to be cool.
It is. I mean, it is a lot of fun. You know, Terry's helping out while Kyle's doing his TV thing. And I know that, you know, Terry, just talked to him a little while ago, and I, you know, he's into it right now because it's not, he didn't have to do 38 races.
Yeah, right. That's a lot easier, isn't it?
Oh man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, he's trying to help me out, and he's trying to help, obviously, the team out because, you know, he wants to see us do good. And, you know, so it's been a joy. I mean, I love my brother, and I've always admired him. And, you know, I just feel it's just a cool feeling to have him there and, you know, have somebody that I can go talk to that, you know, I'm just so used to, I guess. So I've definitely enjoyed the past few races that he's been to.
The you know, with the addition of Boston Ventures in the Petty Enterprises, and I think it's cool how they worked out keeping the Petty Enterprises name. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But them being a part or being the major part now of Petty Enterprises, I know still some of the uncertainty floating around out there. You know, I know General Mills is gone, going over to the Children's group. Where do you think this sponsor thing plays out for Petty Enterprises? Do you think bringing Boston Ventures in is going to make it easier to attract a sponsor? Do you have it settled and you're just not ready to make an announcement? Or how's all that going?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be easier. I mean, obviously, when you have some heavy hitters behind us that have done a lot of business before, and especially business to business with different companies, then sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, a lot of times it's about who you know rather than what you know. And, you know, if these people, they know a lot of people and you can get in the right one, then it's worth more than having all the resources and everything else but not talking to the right person. That's one thing. And then just the fact that, you know, we can, you know, when we go to present ourselves to a company to say, hey, we're Petty Enterprises and we're a two-car team, we're wanting to build this, our portfolio gets bigger because we have Boston Ventures on board and they are a company of this size and they also do dealings with these people and everything. And I look at it as, you know, as tough as the economy is today. This is not going to be easy by no means. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's a great opportunity for somebody, and it's a great opportunity for somebody to get involved with people that, you know, are on a different level, and they might know somebody that you want to know. I'm not trying to sell a speech here, but but at the same time, I mean, it'd be a lot easier sell for us, I believe, with Boston Ventures on board than if they hadn't have been on board. I mean, if we would have gone to somebody and say, hey, can you sponsor our car? We didn't have as much to offer. Now we got more to offer. And, I mean, that's part of the big business that it's about. And, I mean, I think that's kind of where we're at. And, I mean, it's not going to be a bad thing at all. It's going to be good. But, you know, we still got a lot of work to do to get a sponsor. We don't have one yet, but we've talked to a lot of people.
That's okay. When you're coming down to Daytona, everybody knows it's a restrictor plate race, and it's a different restrictor plate race in the summer than it is in the winter. There's no question that the engines work different during the summertime than they do in the wintertime. Isn't that right?
Well, it's that, and plus the heat of the racetrack is, you know, the track gets a lot slipperier, becomes more of a handling track than you know, February is a little bit of both, but you know, July just, it kind of gets there quicker because the track temperature is up pretty high.
What do you feel like the engines are going to be like for you for Daytona? Do you think you got a car that can run in the top 10 most of the night, or how's that? You're able to make that prediction?
Yeah, well, I do feel pretty confident. Our race package in the spring race, we finished 11th, and we were pretty happy with it. You know, and as far as the way our car drove. And, you know, obviously the weather is going to slow us down a little bit as far as the engines go. You're right. But also we're going to have to drive a little bit better or be able to drive, you know, better than a lot of other guys because we were able to, in fact, last July, we were able to make a lot of passes, you know, through the corners and you know, really, even if we didn't have the engine to compete against some of them down the straightaway, we could still beat them through the corners and pass them. So I look for more of a handling package. For me, anyway, I think it's going to be more come down to that. And, you know, so I'm pretty excited about that. I think we got a good shot. Like I said, we had all the Dodges ran good there last time, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I'm glad you said Dodge because, as you know, I'm a local Dodge dealer, and we're glad you're with Dodge. And again, I want to tell you, I really appreciate your time. I know you got other commitments, and we look forward to you coming down here. For the fire, or listen to me, I almost said firecracker. That's a long time. The Coke Zero race and doing well, and we appreciate your time, Bobby.
Yep, no problem, and I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to seeing you down there I guess Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Well, that was Bobby Labonte, and no stranger to an interview, and a good talker. I think really, really exciting to be able to speak to him. And I, if you couldn't pick it up, I don't think you were listening. He's excited about the tone, you know, the tone of his voice, the enthusiasm he has for the changes going on at Petty Enterprise and all the good things that are taking place. I think it's going to be a great, great future for Petty Enterprises. We're going to take a break. Okay, that was we thought we'd take a break, but we got a caller on line one. We're going to go to that real quick. Hello there.
This is Billy Bigrigger.
Hey.
Hey, Mark, turn my mic.
Well, there's a couple things I got to tell you guys. One, I've got a story about how we got so scared Billy's life passed before our eyes. Second story is all I can say is Detroit Red Wings to you, Randy.
Oh, thanks nice. A lot. That's
and
nice.
And Joe Line Worker, I'll talk to you anytime.
Thank you, sir. Oh, man. Rick, what is going on, buddy? I know you guys are heading out of Lernerville, Pennsylvania. The annual firecracker was rained out, and you guys still looking to determine a rain date.
Yeah, actually, it's been already resolved. The B and B Mains and Uncle Sam 30 and Firecracker will be run in conjunction with this Wild West Tour and Ohio Late Mile Speed Week Tuesday night, July 29th. We'll be at Erie's on Sunday the 27th. Which is just a stone's throw away from Lernerville. So that was a good call, and everybody's happy, and we'll be able to get this 40,000 to win it back in.
Yeah, good deal. You guys are certainly right in the thick of it with your summer schedule. Things going real well with the World of Outlaws Late Models. The TV package has been determined, and those events are already scheduled to go on air. Talk about some of the exciting points thus far in the season, Rick. What has really stood out to you, man, being with these guys for 5 years?
I think, obviously, the enthusiasm of the drivers, everybody's in a good mood these days, you know. Even with fuel prices, these guys are getting a ton of races. They're getting paid good money at these races to run. And, you know, with this Canada deal, Joe, you just can't believe it. Up in Ontario, Canada, for the first time ever at Oswegan and Cornwall, jam-packed. Fans pour into the pits for hours for autographs. Of course, Drummondville, that's just a party in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great deal. Our first TV race obviously pushed back here at Lernerville, but we go right back on the road July 9th up at Deer Creek in Spring Valley, Minnesota. That's a speed race, so we're right back into it, and the car counts have stayed good. We expected smaller car counts in Canada due to the lack of late models in certain areas, but when you get 62 at Lernerville with threatening skies, you know, pretty much the forecast for the weekend was not pleasant, but 62 cars come out, and let's face it, it was a World 100 field. And it just shows that this series is going well, heading in the right direction. We picked up a few more contingency sponsors since the last time we talked, and things are real good right now.
That is wonderful. Give us a quick rundown, perhaps, on the top five right now in the points. I know that has been close all season.
Yeah, Steve Francis led this deal until we got to Canada. Once he crossed the border, things kind of fell apart. Darrell Lanigan took over. He's been the point leader. He got the win, first-ever race in Big Diamond Raceway. I'm sure Randy's familiar with that one in Minersville, Pennsylvania.
Minersville, that's okay. It's like Minersville, Mechanicsburg, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It's one of them little boroughs in the mountains. But yep. That was a great race. I mean, they were there a fat grandstand before we went to Hot Laps. And, you know, first time ever there, they were just so enthused with us. They want us to come back next year. But Josh Richards has been hot. He had two wins back-to-back. He sitting there in second in the points. Lanigan got a win. He has been top five. He's had like 10 straight top fives, which got him the point lead. Francis went south there for a while, had some mechanical problems, some bad finishes. Rick Eckert's been awful solid as of late. He's climbed into the top three in points. I mean, this is a good deal right now, but it's Lanigan who's surprising everybody. He is stuck with the point lead since we did our first race in Canada.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking a little bit earlier this afternoon, and an interesting point, we go back to the television that you spoke of a moment ago. The color commentary, that's going to be Dale McDowell, one of the original contracted drivers, one of the original Dirty Dozen with the World of Outlaws Late Models. That's pretty neat because he continues to support the late models not only as an ex-driver and, of course, all the driving that he did, but with the chassis building and all the help that he gives up-and-coming drivers now going to try his hand on television.
Well, he left the World of Outlaws on a good note. You know, everybody liked Dale. Everybody, you know, misses him. but he had the obligation with children, which prompted him to not be on the series. But he still runs with us when he can. Of course, he's got his driving school. He's helping out some Canadian drivers, you know, get a little bit better up where they live. And with everything he's doing, he still has time to support the World of Outlaws and be next to Shane Andrews and do the color for these speed races. And let's face it, you're right, Joe. He knows race cars. He'll be kind of like Brad Doty on the sprint side of the broadcast and get some real good insight. And, you know, knowing these guys, he'll be able to come up with some colorful stuff about their personalities as well.
No doubt. Rick Esserman, we do have another caller on the line as we approach Independence Day weekend, the Clyde Hart Memorial, right around the corner. It's an institution here in Volusia County at New Smyrna Speedway, but I know you're traveling back to the great state of Alabama, and we really appreciate you taking a minute with us tonight, man.
Hey, Joe, any time for you, buddy, and all I got to say is Michael Waltrip.
Nice.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Hey, guys, have a good one, and be safe and keep that great radio show going. Still
thanks,
the
man.
Best there is.
All right, Rick Esserman with the World of Outlaws Late Models, not only announcing and, of course, signing cars in. He does all the PR. Now he's driving the actual...
fixing seats.
Yeah, fixing seats. He's actually driving the rig, the support rig for him.
Mending guardrail.
Yeah, mending guardrail, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
We've got on the phone with us tonight, Joe, Terry Roberts, the general manager of the New Smyrna Speedway. Hey, Terry, welcome.
Hi, Randy. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Terry. Sure, good to hear from you, man.
And you got Billy here too, Terry.
Hi, Billy.
How you doing, man?
Good.
We're glad that you appreciate your patience. Thanks for waiting. The Bobby Labonte interview ran a little long, and of course, when we get Esserman on the phone, we got no idea how long it's going to take.
I appreciate you having me on.
Well, yeah. Tell us. Obviously, you guys got rained out last weekend, so you know that was a shame. I was planning on coming out there, but. This weekend, it's hard to comprehend, I guess, or not this weekend, but this Thursday night, it's the 10th annual Clyde Hart Memorial.
Yes, it is. You know, and that's 10th annual. And there's been some great races throughout the time, and I think that the thing we have to remember is who the man we are honoring this Thursday night with his race and what he did for racing and Triple Eight model racing in the state of Florida.
You know, it wasn't long after I started racing that that Mr. Hart passed away, so I never really had the opportunity to get to have a relationship with him. But, you know, I certainly can't be around that racetrack, can't be around any racetrack in the state of Florida, really, and not be exposed to the influence that Mr. Hart had on the sport. And, hey, I remember, I don't know, I don't think you were with the New Smyrna Speedway at the time, but... that whole Clyde Hart Memorial thing, I didn't name it the Clyde Hart Memorial, but way back when, we had the idea was to have twin 125-lap races for the super late models and the late models, and that happened one night with Robert Hart and I and a couple guys in an office. And we, you know, it rained, and we said, well, if it's going to rain, there was going to be one race. And we said, why don't we make it the next week and have a twin 125-lap races, and it kind of got born that way, but now it's evolved. It's something different. You've got a 125-lap super late model race Thursday night and a whole lot of other things.
Yeah, I think the last year we did the twin 125 or the twin 125s was the year that Central Florida Dodge Dealers sponsored it. We had the television. I think that was the last year we did the.
You know, I had the camera in my race car that night.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
for somebody. Anyway,
I did that on TV, didn't I?
Yes, you did, Joe. You were the.
I was the announcer. That's right.
Rode around in that Pennzoil buggy.
Yeah.
If you think for a minute that Terry is not an absolute professional, did you hear what he said?
He said I was the color.
No, you missed that.
I guess I did.
It was the last year the Central Florida Dodge Dealers sponsored it. I caught it real quick. I don't know about you guys. I caught it, but okay.
Terry, I still have that shirt if you want it back. I'll bring it to you Thursday.
That yellow shirt.
Yeah, the yellow one. Nice, beautiful shirt.
Yeah, you are.
Well, tell us what's going on out there Thursday night.
Well, we're going to open the pits at noon on Thursday, and they'll practice from 2 to 5. We'll qualify at 5:30. At 6:30, we have a on-track autograph schedule. Front gates will open at 4, and then we'll go racing at 7:30. We'll be running the Sunbelt Super Late Models, the Advanced Pro Trucks. We'll be running late models, the limited late models, and the Children Miracle Network 25-lap race for them, and Southern Sportsman, and then we'll wind up the night with our Strictly stocks, which is always an exciting race to watch.
That's a really pretty aggressive, packed program.
That's a big night.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I think that it's a great night because there are a lot of people in town, and you know, we want them to come out and enjoy hospitality and the racing at New Smyrna Speedway and have a great time and you know, take that memory back with them.
You've been, Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been the general manager at the New Smyrna Speedway now for about 3 years. Is that correct?
Just about, yeah.
Okay. Prior to that, yeah, you were involved in the marketing effort out there.
Yeah, I did all the marketing and for there, Orlando, and for the tours.
Along that time, in your tenure, you've made some improvements at the Speedway. Some of the things that have happened along the way. Can you just name a couple?
Well, you know, kind of in a, it started in 70, and 01 when, with the Governor's Cup when, Jeb Bush was here, and it really started when, Robert and I, they put in the new grandstands, and we picked up momentum from there, and we really, you know, we didn't let it just go away, and went from there, and we've gone, and if you drive up, you see the new electronic message center we have out front, the new landscaping, of course, the tracks, then we paved, and we surfaced a year ago.
I think I'm going to get to experience the new pavement tomorrow. that's the plan anyway.
Oh, well, it ought to be fun now. And then we, you know, we put together the deal with the Bright House Networks for the Bright House Challenge, and we started off with a weekly television show that Buddy Pittman and Bruce Deamer now host called Race Week. Probably one of the things, of all the things we've done, probably one of the things that I think is a major accomplishment. We have new bathrooms, and Randy, you know how bad they were.
Oh yeah, yeah. man.
You know, we had at the end of the season last year, they were completely redone, and you know, there's no more. The people have been out before. There's no more shower curtains for doors. So that's a major accomplishment.
Well, that's a big deal to families, you know. I mean, if people want to come to a place. You had a lot of the other elements that were necessary to have a good program, but you know, boy, you know as well as I do. You've got a wife. You go to a place and they don't have a good restroom. You're not going back. I don't care what happened.
Oh yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, that's the option. And you know, that's just a huge thing to have the restroom facilities. And this week on Wednesday, Team Home Depot will be out there, and they will be building a new playground for us for the kids.
That's a huge deal. I mean, you say that very kind of casually, but that's a big deal. I mean, it's going to be branded and sponsored and put up by the Home Depot there on Dunlawton. Is that correct?
No, on 44 here in New Smyrna.
Oh, I made, doggone, yeah. You told me that before. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but it's...
Send your hate letters to me. That's my fault. That's not Terry's fault.
You know, they've done Don Depot has really become a good partner with us. The last 2 years, they've sponsored our Father's Day program, which has just been a huge success, and with the kids, and they've really stepped up and been just a great partner, and, you know... Advanced Auto Parts is another one that's really been with us for about 6 years, and the last 2 years have been real instrumental in our truck series. So we've, and Coke and all, we've got some good partners that have really stepped up and helped us, you know, move forward.
Well, you know, I want to allow you an opportunity again. You know, this Thursday night at New Smyrna Speedway, racing's going to start at 7:30. The gates are going to open at 4:00. You're going to get to see five different divisions and some significant lap counts. 125 laps for the super late models, 25 laps for the late models. I think I heard you say before 75 laps for the truck series. Is that
right.
correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And 50 laps for the sportsman.
50 laps for the sportsman, and then I guess, what, 20 for
25,
the...
25 for the strictly stuff.
Well, you certainly will get your fill for racing. And the other thing is you're really not competing at a big level with the Cup Series, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Cup practice ends Thursday night at the Speedway about the time your deal starts, and it, you know, I don't think there's any reason to hang around and watch Cup practice. You can go watch the real racing at a local short track.
Right. Well, the final Cup practice is over at 7:45.
Okay, well, it was close. I was stretching it your way, man. You know.
Yeah, and you know, our schedule is we run the Southern Sportsman 50 first. That's followed by the late model 25, then the Advanced Auto Parts Pro Truck. They run third race, followed by the Try It Hard 125. So it gives everybody time to get away and get to the track and enjoy it. So and there are a lot of people in town this week, and I think that we'll see a lot of. You just never know who you'll see at New Smyrna Speedway.
Isn't that the truth?
So all in all, it's a huge night to pay tribute to a huge pioneer in the state of Florida when it came to super late model racing. And I think this is the first time that I've seen you guys have five classes, but the lineup you guys have on Thursday night is surely going to be a good one.
Yeah, and I think, we talk about pride and the things we've done, and I think one of the things that racers, if they don't remember, they certainly should, is he is the one that really saved the Governor's Cup in the state of Florida.
Exactly. And, a lot of people don't know that.
No, and he is, and I think that's, all the other things he's done, but that's, I think, one of the special things right there.
Are they getting the green truck running?
No, the green truck's going to sit up on the hill next to Miss Dolly's car, so okay. They'll sit up there and watch the race from there.
All right.
You know, that Governor's Cup, I've been around it long enough. I was around the Governor's Cup when it was really good years and years ago. Then I was around it when it was like any other Saturday night race, maybe in some cases not as good as any other Saturday night race, and then to have it restored to where it belongs is certainly one of the premier super late model races in the state of Florida, and maybe in the Southeast. It's
yes,
good.
It
it's good that it's back where it belongs.
It is, and we each year we try, just to make it a little better and grow the event, and so to make it what it really should be.
Well, Terry, we look forward to being out there. Joe and Billy and I are all going to come out, and so we can be firsthand with our coverage next Monday night. And, we can maybe we can get a tape recorder or something, do some interviews out there, and just have a good time.
That would be great, and everybody come out and check out the new pace car that we'll have out there Thursday night too, Randy.
Yeah, well, we're glad to do that for you. Thanks for that. I appreciate you giving us a plug.
So,
all right.
Okay, buddy. Y'all take care, and thanks for having me on the show.
Terry, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks
Thank you.
For calling,
take
care.
Man.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Terry Roberts. He's the general manager of the New Smyrna Speedway, and they are, pray for some good weather for them Thursday night, because, man, that's an aggressive program.
That's a huge
one.
Yeah,
it is.
And I really wish them a great deal of success. And
he does make it better each year. They do try to improve upon the previous year.
The whole thing is, I think they looked at it this year, and I mean, I can't speak for them, but I think they looked at it this year and realized a lot of people are going to be off on Friday.
True.
Yeah.
Remember, it's sell where July 4th's been on a Saturday. People
right.
had to work on that Friday, and I think it's going to work out in their favor this year. Don't get me wrong, with the no cup qualifying.
Right. No, it's not till Friday,
thank
right.
Thank you. No cup qualifying. You just like Terry said, you never know who you're going to run into.
That's right.
This is going to, I think this could be the best one yet, maybe.
Yeah, and you look at the Sun Belt. Super late model series, they have had pretty good car counts throughout the entire season. They've done a lot better than a lot of people have given them credit for it.
I'll tell you something, that on the occasion when the sheer numbers haven't been way up there,
right.
the quality
that's
is
right.
been phenomenal.
I said, the whole thing is guys won't be afraid to travel to the racetrack this year because they don't have to be nowhere
nothing
on Friday.
To do. That's
Friday,
right.
Friday, July 4th, you never know. They might hit the big track on Friday, leave their haulers at New Smyrna and hit the big track.
True.
Now, you're right.
Huge.
This could be a big deal. You want to get there early. You said the front gates are going to open at 4 o'clock, so it wouldn't hurt you to get out there and get your seat early.
I'm going
to
be signing autographs.
Are you? Well,
you can see you out there.
Maybe we can set up our own table and see how many guys come out and get our autographs.
Billy the Kid.
I'm actually going to do a little work with Glenn Deamer and Buddy Pittman on Bright House Network, so see if they can hire me for the afternoon.
There you go.
You want me to personalize this?
Glenn came out to Volusia Saturday night, so I was, just want to say hello to Glenn Deamer. That's a great show, by the way.
They do. I watch
Race
it.
Week.
It's good. They do a nice job. They've always done a nice job.
Hey,
Billy. Buddy Pittman's been one of the great advocates of local short track racing, you know, for a long, long time.
Look for it soon, and I'll let you know. There's a nice interview with me.
No, there could be an interview with
you.
Sir.
Well, that'd
be nice.
Are you going to do a nice interview
with
this guy?
I hope so. Okay. You know, we're talking about super late models, and in addition to the dwarf car that he picked up a win in on Saturday night at Auburndale Speedway, it was a 1933 Willys panel truck. This, of course, is an Alcar chassis with a ZX1200 Kawasaki. This young man is certainly on the career track from Auburndale Speedway right now, 19-year-old Jonathan Guy. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Want to thank you. I know we were supposed to check in with you about 8:30. We do have just a couple of minutes to spend with you and talk about your accomplishments, but things went pretty well. You're driving for Al Carter here in 2008 and picked up your first win Saturday night at Auburndale.
Yes, sir.
Talk about that, Jonathan. Al Carter, I've known him probably about 16 years, and he's a great guy. I mean, I've worked side-by-side with him, and, you know, he has been looking for somebody to put into this race car, and obviously he's found somebody that's worthy.
Yeah, he had a girl driving for him, and then she couldn't drive for him anymore, so he came to me, and then I just started driving for him.
That's wonderful. Now, I talked to Al this afternoon. He was so excited about the win. He actually called me yesterday, but he said you got a super late model and, of course, a modified mini stock. So, I mean, you're no stranger to race cars.
No, sir. My parents actually own the racetrack.
Right, right.
Auburndale Speedway. So, I mean, I've been racing since I was, like, 10, but then, like, somewhere along the line, my parents finally decided to buy a racetrack, and I've just been around it a lot.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to talk about the success that Auburndale Speedway has had over the past couple of seasons. You guys have really, you know, turned the racing world on its ear here in Central Florida. And what do you attribute a lot of that success to? Because Auburndale's doing pretty darn good right now.
Well, I mean, the economy's down and everything, and, you know, racing's hard for a lot of people. But we work hard and try to make everything to feel silly, nice and clean, and try to make all the drivers happy as possible.
And of course, the go-kart track, you added that not long ago, and that seems to be pretty successful, bringing young drivers up through the ranks.
Yes, sir. We added a brand new go-kart track, and hopefully we're trying to get some state races in next year.
Good deal. Now, Jonathan, we just talked to Terry Roberts at New Smyrna Speedway. Of course, everybody anticipating the Clyde Hart Memorial that'll take place on Thursday. Or any chance you're going to dust off the super late model and join those guys?
Actually, I'm probably going to take the weekend off. 4th of July, just be with the family, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Now, you guys were racing with the Florida Dwarf Car Association this past weekend at Auburndale. Was that a sanctioned race with the Florida Dwarf Cars?
Yes, sir.
All right, and take us through some of the race. We got just a couple of minutes left, but, you know, just take us through where you started and what happened to get you the win.
Well, I had to start in the rear in the heat because I haven't raced 3 races with that association. So I started in the rear in the heat, and I finished. There's 2 heats. So the first heat, you start on the inside, and the second heat, you start on the outside, wherever you finish. So I was in the second heat, and I finished second. And then that put me up in the feature, of course, so I started second row outside. And then once the race started going, I got down quick enough, and I got up to 3rd place, and then I was behind the leader, Billy Guys, and then I don't know the other car. It was I forgot the number of it, but we were racing, and once we got up through traffic, I made this, like, sweet little pass and passed them both through traffic, and then Billy and the other guy wrecked, and then from there on out, I had this guy named Mad Max or whatever. He was on my butt the whole race, but I pulled it off, and I win.
Good deal, man. Well, certainly congratulations, man. There's the Late Model Challenge Series coming together with our own Daytona Dodge Chrysler Late Models for the 3rd annual Scott Thompson Memorial. This is going to be just an amazing late model event. We're looking forward to that.
Obviously, this Thursday night at New Smyrna Speedway, the 10th annual Clyde Hart Memorial Super Late Model Series race, along with 4 other divisions. Joe's crumbling up paper. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We'll be back here next Monday night to give you all the results. Good night.
See you Thursday.